Now entering Nerdist.com.
Hello, hello, hello. Hey, welcome to the show. This week's episode of Sex Nerd Sandra is sponsored by Popporn.com. Popporn is a one-stop shop for all your adult entertainment needs. We have our very own personal URL, popporn.com/sexnerd. When you go there, you get 5 free DVDs with any order of $15 or more. It's pretty sweet. Because not only is this place a one-stop shop, Popporn has also got the lowest prices on the web, exceptional customer service, discreet shipping, now that's important, hilariously insightful commentary, which I value deeply, original DVDs with porn's hottest stars, a 56-page full-color hardcore catalog, and a lot of fun toy categories to poke around in. Hey, so go to popporn.com/sexnerd, and when you spend $15 or more, you're going to get 5 free extra DVDs. All right, sexcellent. Hey, sex nerd, welcome to the show. Hey, Sandra here. I am feeling insecure about this episode, and I just need to cop to it. So let's get into it. This episode is about being beautiful and what that's like going through the world that way. It's a vulnerable conversation because, well, for me, it feels egotistical to talk about that sort of thing. Now, whether you can see it or not, I am looking at this like most of us have really sexy days and really off days. And none of us are constantly always ugly, boring, hot, delicious. Like we all fluctuate through our lives and from day to day, good hair days and bad. So as much as I know that many of us struggle with self-esteem, I also want to accept that giving an honest look at beauty and what that can give us in the world and also what kinds of negative things can happen because of that. I think it's important. So I sought out an objectively gorgeous human being to talk about this with. So I'm talking to Justine Jolie. She was lovely enough to talk about this with me and it was a lot of fun. Before we get into it, I did want to laugh a little bit about this thing coming up on December 1st in Los Angeles. I am hosting the Renegade Ball, which is a wonderful, exciting fundraiser, first annual for the HIV vaccine. This is with an organization called the Immunity Project. They've been working on a vaccine for over 10 years, and now it's getting into a new stage in testing, and they need more funds. So what happens when organizations like this that have exciting projects happening is that you get to have really fun fundraisers. And my friend yesterday texted me, "Hey, I heard you're hosting a ball. Let's go dress shopping." And it suddenly hit me, oh my God, I'm hosting a ball? Like it's called a ball. Like there's going to be a concert. Michael Franti is playing. Shepherd Fairey art is being auctioned. Like legit awesome kick-ass stuff is happening December 1st in Los Angeles. So go to therenegadeball.com to buy your tickets. You can also just donate if you're not in Los Angeles. This is a game changer, a world changer. Seriously, for all people, this can help so many people, and it's exciting. And there's a lot more technologically specific information on the website. Okay, so enough about that, but it's just I'm laughing because I'm hosting a ball. Oh my God. What else? Oh, if it crosses your mind during this episode that this is a very woman-focused episode, yeah, it totally is. Also, just so you know, I have already lined up an objectively gorgeous man to talk about what it's like being him. And he totally blushed when I asked him, but I mean, he's gorgeous. So it's like, I need to talk to you, dude. Buckle up and know that there will be a counterpoint to this episode in the coming month or two. And I hope you enjoy our conversation. Enter Justine Jolie.
Welcome to the Sex Nerd Sandra podcast.
Whoa, what are these kids doing in here? Hey, if you're under 18, go ask your mom. Now that we're alone, let's start the show.
Oh, Justine Jolie. Hi, how's it going?
How you doing?
I'm really good. I'm glad to see you again. I haven't seen you since the first time we met.
I know. We've been trying to hook up, and I hit on you on OkCupid, too.
Oh, my goodness, did you?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't go on there very much.
Who does?
I don't know. And always the messages are full.
Like, really?
Yeah. Aren't yours?
No.
What?
I scared most of my people away because I was honest and said I was a porn star. That frightens most people.
Oh, okay. And I will be honest. For research purposes, I don't like deleting messages. So a lot of those messages are really old. It's not like I'm calling. I just find them fascinating. So I like going through them and just picking like language and how people try and reach out. And sometimes it's a marvelous message. And a lot of the times it's awkward and you know, it was cut and paste and it's just
cut and paste.
Yeah. They're just like, oh, they give the same message to each person.
Oh, okay.
They just pasted it. Like there's nothing personal about it. And sometimes it's all the same, but there's one little thing that seems changed just for you. I don't know. Maybe I'm just reading into that.
Wow.
That's how I see. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Man.
Okay. Cupid. That's exciting. Now I have to look for yours.
Yeah.
Sorry, I missed it. How long ago was this?
About 6 months ago. I think you've just been on. I was like, hey, I know that girl. I'll hit on her anyway.
Awesome. Justine, so we met at I don't even know. I've mentioned this a long time ago, this experience I had in Vegas where it was like a high roller celebrity guy like took us all out for a fancy sushi extravaganza.
Super schmancy.
Yeah.
That was crazy. Like we had our own table, private, and a back room and everything.
I think we had the entire restaurant to ourselves.
Whoa.
There was no one around us.
No, there wasn't. And I remember feeling a little odd about that, but just knowing that, well, we were with a high roller, so I'm guessing this is how he rolls.
Right. Yeah. It was a wild night on the town. Vegas.
Hell yeah. And I think I left early too, because I had to go to a show or something.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, I left that dinner early. I felt bad.
Yeah. You were great company too.
So were you. I had a great time.
Yeah.
Most of those things I'm really nervous about, believe it or not, even though like the high roller that we were with, I'm very comfortable with, and I know most of his friends. Most of those situations really kind of, I get a little uncomfortable. I'm like, I don't know what to do.
Justine, what do you do out in the world?
I am a porn star and I'm an edible maker. I live in Southern California. I do it all legally and above the board. I'm actually registered with the state. I'm also ServSafe certified. So is my kitchen. I make savory pot edibles too.
It is so exciting.
I make pot beef jerky, spicy and teriyaki flavor. And I also make coconut oil. Fruit leather is 2 weeks away, which I'm super excited about. We're starting with apple pie and with cherry pie. Those are going to be the fruit leather flavors.
Those sound important.
Yeah.
Oh, what's the company called?
Greenfairyedibles.com. Yeah.
It's really sweet.
Cause I'm the green fairy. I'm like Johnny Appleseed, except for I sow pot everywhere I go.
Oh, sprinkling the THC across the lands.
Damn right.
Starting with Colorado.
Starting with California.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah.
I mean, I just,
because it's medically legal here. It's just recreationally legal there.
That's true.
Yeah.
So,
though it should be becoming legal here for us recreationally in the next 6 months.
Really?
Yeah. By 2016... there will be 15 states on the East Coast that have said yes to recreational marijuana.
Oh, thank goodness.
Right?
It's so annoying.
It's about time.
Yeah. Let's turn to the sexy.
Yes, please.
On the adult work side of things, being a porn actor. Now, when I met you, I knew I had seen you somewhere before and I couldn't figure it out.
Have you watched my porn?
So, no.
Damn.
Okay. But the entire evening through dinner, because we were also chatting, but I'm like, how do I know your face? Because I don't watch much porn. So, and I realized I love the stockroom.com catalogs.
That would be it.
And I mean, okay, when it comes to all sorts of different BDSM and fetish gear, I mean, Stockroom just has really cool visuals. They really turn into kind of high fashion art. And so I was like, oh, because you're this dynamic redhead. So you model as well. So that's how I recognized you. And I felt so good after I finally figured it out. So I've brought you here today to your own apartment.
Uh-huh. Into my red apartment. My entire living room is painted whorehouse red.
Oh, I feel like you took whorehouse red and like took it, mellowed it out a notch. So it's more like homey.
All right. Awesome.
Call me brothel.
Okay. I like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was going for brothel.
Yeah. Get horny and then get comfy.
Yep. Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to admit something, which is the catalyst for what I want to talk to you about.
Okay.
Which is when I saw you at the bar for the first time, I was really stunned at how beautiful you were.
Wow.
Yeah.
I don't know what to say to that. My mouth is hanging open right now.
Take it. Just take it in.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. And I mean, I've seen many beautiful people. And I think about beauty from, like, I think about the nature of beauty and what it means to be beautiful or pretty or sexy and all these different things. But you were extraordinarily beautiful in this moment in time. But I also know, being a woman,
okay,
that, you know, you work out the hair, you work out all makeup, you know, you wear that color that you know pops. Like, there's certain things you know to do to kind of emphasize. But I don't see any of that. I just see, like, oh, like, you were having a moment, Justine.
Oh, well, thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
I was actually, that was the night that I found out I had MRSA.
What is MRSA?
Antibiotic resistant staph.
Oh, no.
Sorry, that's why I'm finding this moment incredibly funny, because I remember not feeling well that night. And mm-hmm. I remember when I went out, I had nothing to wear. Uh-huh. I shit you not. I had this whole conversation with my husband before I left. I was like, I have nothing to wear. I feel like crap. My night is going like hell. So I really appreciate that. Thank you.
You're welcome. Yeah, you pulled it off.
Thanks.
You know, vibing, like, happy and all that. Good actress.
What were you going to ask about women when they do their thing that they do?
Oh, Justine, I don't even know. I don't even know. There's so many feelings. I have so many feelings about this. I want to talk about being beautiful.
Okay.
I want to talk about being beautiful. For instance, what do you think of your looks?
I have recently, just so we're all clear, I am 34. I turned mm-hmm. 35 this year. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't until probably a year ago that mm-hmm. I had finally looked in the mirror and was like, okay, I get it. Some people find me really attractive. Mm-hmm. I don't understand why, mm-hmm. but because I'm a makeup artist, I logically understand that my face is mostly even. Mm-hmm. And that's what makes a woman technically beautiful. As far as, like, when you go through makeup school and they're telling you, like, how to do someone's face, all makeup is supposed to do is to correct what, like, say your left eye is slightly smaller than your right. Mm-hmm. For me, it's my left eye is larger than my right. Mm-hmm. So I always have to make my right eye look slightly larger than my left. Or I have to bring my hair over that side of my face. Uh-huh. See? Working with it.
You got it a year ago?
Well, I just got it. And, you know, most people would be like, holy crap, you're gorgeous. You've got to know that. And I'm like, no, I don't. I was horribly teased. I was horribly unpopular. And I had a mullet when I was 13, guys. And it was permed.
That's
poodle permed.
Whoa.
It was great. So I spent that time when you learn how to start putting on makeup and things like that. I was in a home where that wasn't okay. Wearing makeup was banned. I wasn't allowed to date. So I was incredibly socially awkward until I was 18. Mm-hmm. It was horrific. Like, I would never, if I ever had children, I wouldn't do that to them, because it was so painful for me once I got out into the world to recognize that, like, man, people find me really attractive. I was stalked and harassed.
After 18 or before 18?
Before 18.
Okay, so you weren't aware of it. You weren't allowed to enhance your natural looks, but you did notice that people were interested in you.
Catcalling, men following me down the street. Yeah, it was frightening. It was actually frightening until I got into porn, because I didn't understand. Like, I just didn't get it. Mm-hmm. I didn't get the reason I was being followed. I didn't get the reason I was being stared at. I didn't get the reason why I was getting so much attention. To me, it was just frightening.
Your poodle perm was really working for you.
Apparently.
Wait, okay. I mean, I joke, but that was scary.
It was. It was really frightening for me, because I didn't get it.
Did anyone tell you? Did you tell anyone?
Well, I tried to go, I tried modeling mm-hmm. at 16. I tried, but I was too thin. I was too tall. I couldn't do commercial work because I was too pretty for commercial work, but I was too short for high fashion. So for me, it was kind of like, I'm not right for anything.
Okay. So you were being told that you are pretty, and you're being told that you're too thin and too tall for commercial work
for work.
Fascinating. So you aren't completely, unaware that you were attracted
to other
people.
Well, the attention for me, it didn't make sense, the attention I was getting, but I thought, well, fuck, why not try? I mean, okay. Apparently I'm getting enough attention. Why not try this? But then the modeling agencies also told me I wasn't pretty enough, or I wasn't tall enough or thin enough or whatever. Mm-hmm. And that started doing my head in as well. Mm-hmm. And then I started seeking therapy.
Oh, what'd you learn in therapy?
Mostly that I need to learn to love myself. I think that's why last year it was just kind of like, oh, I get it. Cause I hadn't really loved myself before then.
Okay.
And really just kind of accepted myself. I think you have to be comfortable in your own skin before you actually shine that sexiness out to other people.
The sexiness within.
Yeah. You have to be comfortable within yourself and know, like, so I've got an apple ass, because I do. Mm-hmm. I'm not like my body isn't shaped like Aria Giovanni. She's gorgeous. I love her. I wish my body looked like hers.
I don't know who that is.
Google her. She's amazing.
Is she an actress?
She's half Italian.
Is she a model?
Yeah, she's okay. A model and a girl porn star. She's half Italian and half white,
okay,
or half German, maybe. But she's gorgeous. Beautifully curvy and natural triple D boobs.
All right.
Yeah. I've been obsessed with big boobs all my life because I have small ones.
But you have small boobs? I have seen pictures of your boobs. I feel like
34B.
34B?
They just got to a C.
Congratulations, I guess.
Right?
I guess from what I recall of your naked body, everything is well proportioned.
Yeah.
So I'm like, boobs.
And that's another thing that I had to also accept is that literally I am proportionate everywhere. My face, my boobs. Yeah. It's kind of,
wait, why did you need to accept that? Isn't proportion, isn't that kind of what we want?
It is. But when you don't know you have it and you're searching for it everywhere else, mm-hmm, it drives you crazy. Or at least it drove me crazy.
Why can't you see yourself? Like, why couldn't you see yourself? Like, didn't you ever have a moment?
Body dysmorphia.
Would you say that you have body dysmorphia? Oh, okay. I have a friend of mine who's been on the show. She's mentioned that she has body dysmorphia. It's fascinating. Like, you couldn't see yourself.
Yeah.
Or it's not that you can't see yourself. It's that
I don't see myself the way other people see me.
Mm-hmm.
I still see myself as that gawky 13-year-old with the mullet, even though
that's not.
Or at least I did. Now I don't.
Huh. Interesting.
Yeah. Saw that gawky teenager that literally, we would make jokes that, like, we got to tie knots in your legs to make knees.
Oh, that's so sad.
You swallow a marble, you're pregnant.
Wow. So that's, I guess I was always on the chubbier side, so I didn't get those jokes.
Yeah. And I've always found curvier women because I grew up so thin.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that was just my body. There was nothing I could do about it. Mm-hmm. I had a super high metabolism. I've always loved curvier women and have been attracted to curvier women for the most part.
I mean, I've always been a little bit heavier than, I guess, the ideal. Not a lot, but unless I really work out and, like, go for the gold. Yeah, I'm more huggable than, like, fuckable. Like, that's a really weird thing to say.
Oh, goodness. And see, I would say you're more fuckable than huggable anyway.
Thank you. How do I say this? It sounds so weird. I think of it as, like, if you put me in a video and people see that, generally I am not going to be a sex symbol for how I look right now. I did my makeup and hair today because I was actually went on video today. So I'm more done up than usual by a lot. I don't usually look like this. I've got, like, pinup curl things happening.
Great.
Thank you.
It was like, you guys can't see this, but she's absolutely adorable. She's got earrings, the whole nine, literally. You've got these lovely little bracelets that I love. Beautiful pearls.
Oh.
That's the part I was like, she showed up in pearls, y'all. She showed up to my house in pearls, and I'm wearing sweatpants and an Ewok sweatshirt.
Oh, that just makes you, I mean, you're
so save the trees.
I love
the fucking
it.
Ewok on it.
It's so cute. I was just definitely kind of jealous of your hoodie earlier. I was like, I want to wear one.
I just know I had a hot, sexy lady turn up to my house to do an interview.
Tell me a life story. Tell me everything. Tell me. No, when it comes to being beautiful or sexy or hot, because no matter what you've thought of yourself the last 20 years, mm-hmm, right? 20 years or so when people started following you and whatnot, modeling, not modeling, being in porn. When did you start being in porn?
I was 20.
I was 20. Okay.
Yeah, so I turned 21 in the industry, actually.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Isn't that cute? Did you find that a lot of the women knew how hot they were and like really felt like really found themselves attractive? Like since you've been in, I mean, you do female, right?
I do, yeah.
Or girl on girl, lady. What do you call it?
Either way, girl on girl, lesbian sex. It just depends on how your viewers want to view it. I mean, personally, I view it as girl on girl or lady on lady or taking a dip in the lady pool. Because I don't, you know, like, look, if I'm with a girl who is honestly a lesbian, then I would call it lesbian sex. Because at that point,
I'm with a lady who doesn't do dudes.
Mm-hmm. Now, if I'm with a girl who does guys, then at that point, I'm like, well, we're just taking a dip in the lady pool.
I see that.
Yeah.
Or when orientation comes into play.
Sorry, I was just staring at your mouth and forgot the question. I really did. I'm sorry.
Oh, objectifying. How fun. How fun. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Going back to the question of have I found that other women have issues and or do they find themselves as sexy?
Mm-hmm.
Every girl has an issue. Every girl has something she's unhappy with. Aria Giovanni used to complain that she was too curvy.
Mm-hmm.
And at least for me, I've been thinking about this a lot lately. Aria and I shot for a lot of the same people. And we shot for a lot of the same people. And I've realized this for two reasons.
Hmm.
One, we both don't fit the norm as to what porn stars are supposed to look like.
Mm-hmm.
Blonde hair, big boobs, blue eyes, white girl.
Is that still a thing?
Oh, it's still a thing. Really a thing.
I feel like there's so many different colors in the spectrum now.
Because they're finally understanding that the world doesn't want... The world does want tattooed girls that do dirty things.
Mm-hmm.
And they do want pale-skinned white girls that don't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
There's a wider variety out there. And people need to... At least businesses are starting to understand that there's a wider variety of what people want in sex. So why not give it to them? People like Bonnie Rotten were... Or women like Bonnie Rotten were a very... kind of, she couldn't get a job to save her life to start with until they found out that she was a fucking freak that did a great job on film.
Uh-huh.
And then what happened? People were like, oh no, she likes what she does. Pay attention to that. Pay attention to her. She loves what she does and she's a freak and she's tattooed to hell because people told her originally, you have to get your tattoos removed. They said the same thing to Belladonna. You're going to have to get your tattoos. You have no idea how many shoots I did with Belladonna when I first started, because we had the same agent when we first started together.
Mm-hmm.
She was in the industry for 6 months prior to me.
Mm-hmm.
I will never forget when Suze Randall told her to get Bebe removed from her knuckles.
Uh-huh.
And when I did a shoot with her for Penthouse, she had 15 tattoos. There were only three visible when we shot because they covered up that many of her tattoos.
Wow.
When I first started shooting, they were covering up tattoos. They like no tattoos were visible. No girls with tattoos, big boobs, all of that stuff. Mm-hmm. It was the Bonnie Rottens, the Rachel Rottens, the other girls that came in with tattoos and piercings that were like, look,
I'm going to have a Google fest looking up these names.
Right?
Apparently. Oh no.
Hello.
How's it going?
Hi. Good.
Hi, handsome.
But it was those women coming in and changing the view of the industry, not necessarily changing the view, but just giving customers what they really wanted, which was freaky girls that have tattoos that are pretty and want to do dirty things.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, time check.
Actually, I should have said thank you 3 minutes or 3 o'clock because that's from our stage days when he used to be 5 minutes to places, 5 minutes to places.
You used to do theater together?
Yeah.
Oh.
We worked in a burlesque nightclub and the only vaudeville nightclub that's open in America right now.
What is it called?
The Box.
Where is it?
New York City, Lower East Side, 189 Christie Street. I'll take you one night.
Ooh. Okay.
I'd rather you go with me because then I can take you to meet all the people who you will see perform on stage.
I am in. I am very in.
Well, especially when you meet my tranny fairy godmother who likes to do poop shows.
Oh my God.
They're great.
Oh my God.
Oh, I'm sorry. My transsexual fairy godmother. I forgot that was offensive. I did not mean to be offensive to anyone who's transsexual, but she does prefer to be called my tranny fairy godmother.
Hey, if that's what she prefers to be called. And then when you ended with poop show, it really did something for me.
Oh, good.
Not gay. Yeah. I don't know about sexually, but like someplace inside me was, you know, really warm.
It makes me excited. I don't find it sexy. It doesn't turn me on. But I really do find it incredibly artful, freeing on some level that she does do poop shows. It's great for me.
Yeah.
I think it's fantastic. It's for some reason it's liberating.
Somebody somewhere.
Yeah.
It's got to do it.
So back to girls who don't feel sexy.
Well,
But I see a lot of, like, Nikki Benz. She loves to go and get facial work done. And a part of it is because she loves the way that it feels.
Facial work meaning plastic surgery?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I also know another woman who's in the industry who's addicted to plastic surgery because it's the only way she can get off.
Whoa. Like, yeah. She actually gets aroused only when... Interesting.
Because she was really sick as a child in the Ukraine. Mm-hmm. And the only time that she got a lot of physical contact was when she was at the doctor's.
Wow.
And because you kind of create your sexuality between the ages of 8 and 12, she was really sick between the ages of 8 and 12 being touched by doctors. Now she really only gets off when she gets plastic surgery.
Can't her partner just wear a lab coat and wield like, a speculum?
You know what? I've asked that question too. She's a psychologist and so is her husband. I don't know why they don't.
I want to ask this person myself.
Right?
What's her name?
Victoria Zadruck.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Okay.
And she's a sex columnist for Penthouse as well. So you should track her down.
Please. What a wonderful lead. I'm so curious about that. Oh, God.
I think most of the women that I work with, we're okay with ourselves because we've done something to make ourselves feel better. Like girls that I know have gotten boob jobs. They feel better about themselves. I think my favorite example of that would be Emily Marilyn. She had wanted fake boobs since she was 13 years old. Mm-hmm. And at 30, she looked at me and she was like, I'm going to do it. Because she had natural tiny A boobs. Mm-hmm. She had really pretty nipples.
Mm-hmm.
And really pretty small boobies. And she's like, people are telling me that it's going to ruin my career. Friends of mine are saying that they're going to not be my friend anymore. What do you think I should do? I'm like, okay, first and foremost, it doesn't matter what the fuck I say. Mm-hmm. I don't have to live with them in my chest. Mm-hmm. First and foremost, whoever is telling you that you shouldn't get it done, they're not living with foreign objects in their body. You are. So in the end, it's your choice. Mm-hmm. Is it going to make you feel better? Are you actually going to stop feeling shitty about your body? Well, yeah. Then fuck what I say. Fuck what anybody else says. Do what makes you happy.
Well,
I was 24 saying that, but I was like, don't listen to anybody else. You got to do what makes you happy. And she's never felt better about her body. She stopped actually having issues.
I'm fascinated by that. Well, two things. On one level, I'm all about saying it's your body. Do whatever you want to do and make yourself happy.
Right.
On another, I'm curious about stepping back, having some soul-searching conversations around what is it that's making you unhappy about the small boobs. Because just like men who get circumcised later in life because they feel bad that they have foreskins.
Really?
They're yeah.
They do that.
Yeah.
Holy fuck.
And
that sounds like a really bad idea, though. God damn.
Well, honestly, I would say better as an adult after you can make that decision for yourself instead of somebody else making that decision for you.
Touche.
Okay. And so that you know the decision that you're making. But when delving into why you decided, you know, why that person decided to get a circumcision, the only answer I've ever found is that they felt bad about their genitals. It wasn't like, oh, there's a functioning issue or there's a cleanliness thing. It was just so that people don't shame me for my genitals.
It's so terrible to hear that people would shame you.
Well, I mean, a lot of people, especially in America where foreskins are more rare, that's the answer that keeps coming up. So it's do whatever makes you feel happy. At the same time, is this something, you know, permanent body modification?
I mean, she had gone through the therapy first.
Yeah. Okay. So if that's the case, then yeah.
At that point I was like, are you seeing a therapist? Have you talked to somebody?
Go have fun.
Yeah. And she was like, no, I've been seeing my therapist for years. My therapist is the one who suggested I finally do this because apparently she'd gone to the doctor, gone through the gone to go get everything started, but then stopped because she was like, I'm afraid I'm going to lose my modeling career. Mm-hmm. And I'm also afraid that it's going to do bad things to my body. And then that's when I was like, okay, look, it doesn't matter what I think. It doesn't matter what any other person thinks. Is it going to make you happy? Are you going to stop making yourself feel shitty about your body? And she's like, yes, I'm going to stop making myself feel shitty about my body. I'm like, then don't pay attention to any of us. Talk to your therapist.
Did it ruin her modeling career?
No. Made her modeling career better. And she also, at this point, she's so happy with her boobs. She stopped looking for other problems.
Interesting.
And that's what I'm finding with a lot of these other women who are like, no, I love plastic surgery, like Nikki Benz. She ain't got a problem with her body at all. She loves every bit of herself. Every bit of herself. Even though her butt's, she's like, yeah, my butt's getting bigger, so my boobs. She got another set in. She's super happy about it. And I'm finding that for me, that's what's what I find sexy about women, what I find is sexy about women is when they become comfortable with themselves, no matter which way, no matter how they achieve that. And I think that's why I found myself sexy recently. Because I found comfortability within myself. I'm like, so I'm not 110 pounds. Okay, well, that's unhealthy for me anyway. And I have to accept that. Because I like to fight to be 110 pounds.
Interesting. Yeah. Fixated on that weight.
Again, dysmorphia, a little fucked up.
Okay, what is it like? I have to ask because I've never really, like, there'll be evenings where I get dressed up and really work it out. And I notice that people look at me different, talk to me differently. Everything changes. What is that like for you?
Well, for me, I call it the Superman effect. I put my glasses on, take off my makeup. People have no fucking clue who I am. It's fantastic.
Yeah, you look very different right now. I mean, you're absolutely adorable. Your hair is back. You've got these dorky glasses on, but like the awesome like square frames that I enjoy. I mean, hoodie. And you're still attractive. It's a different... There's something entrancing about when the hair's down and the blush, and there's something that's just gripping about that. What happens when you look like that out in the world?
For me, I call it putting on the war paint, believe it or not, because for me, it's putting on a shroud, something that I'm literally putting over myself so that it's like a protective, for me, it's kind of like a big old condom to go out in the world with.
It's protective.
Yeah, it's protective. It, you know, for me, it's kind of, once I put the makeup on, I turn into Justine. You could say pretty much anything to me. I'm either going to laugh or I'm going to be like, go fuck yourself. I'm like a duck in water at that point. No matter what you say to me, it's going to roll off my back and I'm not really going to care.
Why?
Because I had gone through so many crazy things, at least with photographers, like don't ever get your boobs fixed. Okay. First of all, who the fuck are you to tell me that I want to, did I mention to you that I wanted to get fake tits? Like,
was there something broken about them? Like, were they insinuating they thought there was a problem with your boobs?
No, they were like, your boobs are perfect. Don't ever fuck with them. And I'm like, who ever told you I wanted to get fake boobs? So it was photographers saying weird things to me over the course of years of like, don't get any bigger. We won't shoot you. Don't gain too much weight.
You're perfect.
We won't shoot you.
There seems to be a lot of fear that you may change out of the perfection that is your present. Oh, I hate that feeling, like aging.
And they want to pigeonhole you into, and at least for me, also because I do have body dysmorphia, seeing myself at different weights in photographs really fucked with my head. That's why I tried to fight to stay down to 110 pounds. But for me, looking at those photographs now of me at 110 pounds, I can count every one of my ribs and my breastbone. I can count. I can actually see the outline of the breastbone and I can count the ribs around it. That was scary. To me, that's scary. Seeing the bumps for your chest plate that covers your heart. That's too thin. That's just simply too thin. And so at least for me, finding the comfortability of being 125 pounds, 130 pounds, which is thinner than my model weight, quote unquote.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if you naturally have your ribs showing, fine. But fighting to be
after
showing
30,
all your
fighting
ribs.
Fighting to stay there?
Yeah. Like, it's like, calm down. Calm
a
down.
Bit. Yeah. Work that shit out.
So you put on your war paint and you go out in the world and anyone, is it like that you feel like, is it like this, like what do vampires do when they...
Because I've changed so much, at least for me, I've changed so much. I literally turn into Superman. Like I went from being the dorky little girl to now, you know...
Is it that you don't even feel like who you are?
Yeah.
Do you feel... Does it feel inauthentic?
Sometimes, yeah. Because I don't... The world reflects something I don't see.
Okay. That you don't see, but they see it.
Right.
It seems like a superpower. Like, really is like a Superman superpower.
Yeah. That's kind of how I feel about it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you've got the halo effect for people when people are more attractive. Do you know about that?
People
see you as healthier and smarter and more talented. That when you're beautiful, when people see you as beautiful or sexy, you get endowed with all these magical other elements that have nothing to do with your looks. Yeah. I mean, of course, healthy skin might be telling you that you're healthy, but things like for instance, you had a staph infection that you couldn't cure at the time And I'm like, you are the most beautiful thing I have ever seen. This is weird. And also, like, it's also, I need to put that away because I want to talk to you like a person, not like someone who's very pretty. You know, I want to be like, you're cool. Let's talk.
Okay. Yeah.
So it's fascinating. Also, how's your staff?
Oh, it's gone. Oh, it's okay. Awesome. Yeah. No, I had no idea until I came home, actually.
Okay.
Because that was Saturday night. Sunday is when I had the rash.
Uh-huh.
Sunday's when the rash appeared.
Oh, okay. You just found out about it. Okay.
Well, no, the rash had come Sunday night, and I thought, I didn't actually know that I had MRSA until I came back to LA on Monday.
All right. Oh my God, it's so intense.
No, here's the thing. Trying to wash off what I thought was an allergic reaction to something I had just worn. Mm-hmm. And then only having a handheld to wipe myself down with while 10 people are in my room is pretty interesting.
Oh, life.
Right?
AVN. I want to get back to the thing. Superman. Yes. Superhero things. I guess I struggle with beauty myself.
Okay.
And when I get dolled up and people are treating me differently, I feel incredibly detached from myself. I feel so far away from who I am. I actually, I've cut my hair almost buzzed cut my hair twice. Like, it was real short because when my hair gets long, I get more comments about being pretty, about being beautiful, about being attractive. And of course I didn't choose this hair. This is just the hair that grows out of my head. And so I've cut my hair short twice because I didn't like the attention that I got. And I'm just accepting, like, I've grown my hair out and I've let it be long because it's also easier.
Okay.
But to hear you talk about that, like, you feel you're impenetrable, that you have more
I have, at least for me, I have my armor on. Yeah, I do.
But for me, to be seen as beautiful makes me more vulnerable. Like, I feel like I need to fight to cover up that. Like, I need to cover that up.
That's why my attitude is generally, because I am so sensitive. I'm very sensitive like you, and I also feel like I'm an open nerve. When I put the makeup on, it helps me to kind of put the armor around my heart so that, doesn't matter what you say. Yeah, go for it.
I could care less. Okay, you put the armor on your heart emotionally as part of putting the war paint on.
Yeah. That way I don't get hurt, or there's nothing you could really say to me while I'm out partying or while I'm in this state that could upset me, offend me, or hurt my feelings. And that's what the makeup is for, is to kind of cover up the nerd underneath.
Okay.
The sensitive nerd that's awkward and doesn't know how to talk to people.
Oh, so you're hiding your true self that you don't like.
Yeah.
And putting on some, kind of like, like when burlesque performers kind of get into their mojo.
Yeah.
Hearing you talk about this armor, I don't know. I guess the more leather I put on, like, I'm wearing a leather gauntlet.
Yeah, and I love your leather gauntlet.
Boots.
Yeah.
I'm like wearing ass kicking stuff is literally, I put on armor to feel like I'm wearing armor.
Okay.
But dresses, like, I have to fight the fact that I'm wearing a dress. Like I'm like,
but you're
angry.
Also smart. You wore leggings.
Well, it's cold. I wasn't I was at the Young Turks earlier today at the news studio shooting. I was not wearing leggings. I don't know. It's a weird thing where I know that the way I look,
I'm terrified to wear a dress without leggings or shorts.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Because underwear?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, do you?
No, because I can't, sitting on surfaces, odd surfaces that don't belong to me that I know have not been cleaned.
Oh,
I get bumps on my butt. Everybody does, because it's bacteria. Your body comes in contact with bacteria that's never come in contact with. You get zits on your ass.
I guess I don't wear dresses short enough where my butt's on stuff.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, I'm always,
I wear a lot of hoey ass shit.
Well, do you have cellulite and yeah, stuff going on? Right, yeah, okay. Like, that's, there is a safety zone. I've got a lot of inner thigh action going on.
You know that a lot of women, you can't help getting cellulite, and that's something you're going to have to accept. There's nothing that can stop that. It happens. The best thing that you can do is get the brushing, do the Asian brushing shit.
Oh, who do you go to for that? Which Asians?
I don't, but I've thought about going to go do it. No, I go get, I go to this 24-hour Asian place, over
Korean. No, you're not talking, well, not with a brush, but like, I get the scrub.
Oh, where they do like the plastic aggressive scrubby brush and they just attack you. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I've got.
And they also get up in places where you're like, don't you think you should take me out on a date before you go there?
Yeah. They like grab a labia once in a while. Like, they don't grab it, but like it accidentally, they brush a labia.
I wish they got my butthole once. I was like, really? Don't you think I want a date, but I want to be caressed a little bit before you touch that part.
Yeah. I didn't get any butthole action. Maybe that's just you and your glowing skin. You're so pretty.
I was so red after that. Oh, my skin hurt for a week.
Do you find it erotic that they're wearing lacy black underwear and bras while they brush you?
Were they wearing? No, I was Korean trying not spas. To pay attention. She was wearing a robe. She was wearing like a full-on smock and shit.
The place I go, it's like, this is very, this is a little too sexy for me. But they're like women in their 40s and 50s and very serious about their job. It's not sexy for them.
No.
But then the bras with the lace.
Okay, I haven't seen. Maybe you should go to mine. It's off of it's off of Virgil and Wilshire.
Okay,
and it's a 24-hour.
Is it Olympic Spa?
I think so.
Oh, okay, I go to Wee Spa. Anyway, this is not important.
No,
I mean this is important though. In that, and men can get it too. It's just the Korean services. It's pretty great. They know how to take care of their skin. Anyway.
But I think you should go there because they wear smocks. They don't wear lacy anything. Okay. They wear smocks.
It is a little distracting.
Sorry about that. I was like, oh, lacy. No.
I'm fascinated about this armor thing. I feel like I'm
unique to me. I don't think that other girls feel that way. It's because I am so sensitive and because I was teased so much. Uh-huh. And for me, it's my way of putting on... Or at least being able to keep the world at bay to a certain degree so that I can just kind of focus on what I'm supposed to be doing.
I guess I feel more in danger when I am attracting attention.
Yeah, I think everybody does.
It's weird.
Well, I mean, because I was stalked and I have been in several situations where I've been like, you know what? I have no idea who I'm with and weird shit could happen to me. I always made sure that I was wearing platform heels so that if anything did happen, I could take my shoes off and beat the shit out of them with my shoe.
Oh, right.
I did grow up with brothers, just in case you were wondering.
Never
buy expensive shoes. That's the other thing. Never buy expensive shoes. That way, when you do kick them off to run, you're not upset about losing the shoes.
That's really smart. Also,
I tried to run from somebody in my Aldo shoes once. That didn't work.
And also,
because I wasn't willing to leave them.
Aldo shoes aren't, I don't know. I'm not.
They were really sexy. They're not, I wasn't willing to leave them.
They're pretty, but they're not comfortable. Ugh, Aldo. Anyway. Right. Okay. I think it's fascinating that we're talking about beauty and we're talking about fighting because
I think that women feel that way. I think. Well, maybe not all women, but I do feel, because I've been thinking about this for the last couple of days. Like, I've gotten to the point where I'm 35 and, I don't get catcalled as often anymore, which is both comforting and upsetting at the same time.
Yeah, aging. What's that like?
For me, it's actually not that shitty. I got to be honest. It's not that shitty. No. I don't have as many lines as I expected. I don't. Mm-hmm. I'm not aging the way that I thought I would age, to be quite frank.
Mm-hmm.
I thought by the time I was 35, I would look like my mom at 35. She had crow's feet. And I don't.
Wow. Yeah. And you smoke.
Like, yeah,
you
smoke like a fucking chimney.
Do you just take great care? Do you just have like your own Asian woman like in your closet that scrubs your face?
So, yeah. No, I think it's because I drink 2 liters of water a day. I've thought about that for a while. I don't drink soda.
Mm-hmm.
I drink water, tea, and milk. Those are the three things I drink.
Yeah. You have huge glasses too.
Yeah. I drink about 2 to 3 liters of water a day.
Huh.
A ton of tea. I do take vitamins. But I mostly think it's genetics. I really do.
Okay.
Like my mom didn't start getting really wrinkly until she was in her 40s. So I can look forward to that. My grandmother as well. Most of the women in my family don't start getting super wrinkly until they're in their 40s. So
have you experienced other people being jealous of your beauty or that other people find you attractive?
That might explain some things.
Okay.
Meaning I wouldn't necessarily say myself that they had been jealous, but thinking about it now, it might explain some women's behavior towards me. Yes.
Oh, like what?
like an ex-girlfriend, thinking I tried to sell her to a dude and made a profit off of it. Like I was a hooker booker.
Like I was hooking, like I was booking girls to dudes and getting paid from it.
What would attractiveness have to do with that, or jealousy have to do with that?
I think at that point, because she was after my boyfriend at the same time, we were bringing her in as a third, and I think she fell in love with my boyfriend, and I think she was trying to shove me out of the picture, which whenever I bring girls in, it's like, okay, there are three rules. One, no drama. Two, I'm queen bee. Three, you try to usurp me, you're out faster than you can blink. Those are my three rules. That's it. And be honest.
Oh.
And she tried to usurp me.
Whoa. Interesting.
And I think she tried to usurp me because she was jealous. But I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I personally would say I've never experienced that.
Jealous of you or wanted what you had.
Yeah, I would say I've never experienced that because I wouldn't know. I've never... Yeah.
Right, because it's how much is going on that we're just not aware of.
Right. And so I don't know... There may have been somebody who is jealous of the things that I have. I'm sure that there is somebody out there who is super jealous of what I have. Have they ever talked to me about it? No, because I would be like, dude, sit in my shoes for a day. You may not actually have fun.
Are there good things? Like, I mean, okay. Do you do that? Have you gotten that classic, like, free drinks?
Oh, hell yeah.
Gotten out of tickets. Okay.
Well, never gotten out of a ticket. Never gotten out of a ticket. I have a gold card now. A gold card is issued by some family member. You get gold cards when you are a family member of a police officer. And my father-in-law is a captain in the Jersey City Police Department.
Really?
For real. I now actually have a get-out-of-jail-free card. But I've never done anything when cops pull me over. For the most part, I'm actually just really pleasant and I accept my ticket and I move on. I don't try and get out of it, especially if I'm doing something like speeding. I deserve my ticket.
Free drinks though.
Oh, fuck yeah. Free drinks.
How do they do it? Are they just like for the pretty lady?
Or no, sometimes I just walk up to the, like, I'll never forget the first time I went into the Box. The Box is an exclusive nightclub in the Lower East Side. It's difficult as a motherfucker to get in unless you're cute and you blow the door guy. Which I did both.
Oh, okay.
Wait, to me, I didn't understand that, though. It wasn't until I started working there 6 months later that literally the guy looked at me and he was like, the only reason we let you in is because you're hot. You know that, right? To which I just went, yeah, okay, whatever. I thought it was because I blew him. To which he just went, really? Wish I would have known that before I let you in.
Wait.
A second time, because he could have gotten a blowjob out of it.
Oh, that's so funny. What else? Like, what else have you noticed? Like, I've seen a pretty friend go up to a pizza counter and get a free cookie. Like, they just were like, here are things. I don't get offered free things, Nina, just for being me.
I think the only other situation that would be similar to that was when Nina took me to the Ford Amphitheater and we went to jazz. It was so fucking awesome. High.
You were high.
I was super high. And I asked the guy at the counter if he had a brownie. And he's like, no, I don't have any brownies. And I just gave him the sad face because I was like, I don't really want anything then. Water. He literally, apparently, I didn't notice because I wasn't really paying attention to him. He got me my water. I paid for it. I left. Nina was like, what the fuck did you say to him? I'm like, what do you mean? What did I say to him? She's like, that man looked like he was trying to trip over himself to get whatever you needed. What did you say to him? I was like, I just wanted a brownie. They didn't have any. So I left. And at that moment, she had said to me, I have always wanted men to act that way with me, the way that they have acted with you. To which I went, you are the most famous person I know. And you hang out with me like a normal person. Let's just trade shoes.
Yeah. I'll be famous. You have guys tripping.
Yeah.
We'll do this.
I would gladly take your fame over that mess any day. Because to me, it doesn't make any sense. Like, that whole situation didn't make any sense to me. I was very confused by it and kind of walked away. I'm really clueless. I'm really kind of fucking clueless.
It's a funny conversation because I know that sometimes it's difficult to hear this conversation because it's like, what's it like being pretty? But it's because a lot of people have anger and frustration toward other people that they view as more attractive than themselves.
And that's also why I wanted to have this conversation. It may be difficult, but it's the truth. As much as you may think that I go around going, hell yeah, I'm gorgeous, I'm going to get free shit, that's not how it works for me. For the most part, I'm confused about it all.
Okay, so it's kind of a beautiful, naive thing.
Yeah. I mean, occasionally, like, I'll use it to my advantage, like when I can't get into the slipper room or when I can't get into a bar.
How do you use it to your advantage? Like, is it just there and... Okay, you're just giving me puppy dog eyes.
Oh, yeah.
And sideways head. Like,
and a little sad face, and that pretty much does it.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Or my favorite, especially when I want to get into fetish clubs. Hi, my name is Justine Jolie. And if they don't recognize my name, I was in the movie Master of O. You want me here.
And then what
they
happens?
They let me in.
And then they go, oh.
They were like, wait, Master of O, shot by Ernest Green? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was a star in that movie. You really do want me in here partying tonight. I'll pay. Yeah, I don't want in for free. But can I come in now?
Mm-hmm.
That usually works.
Oh, I've never pulled weight.
Do that shit sometime.
Wow, that's just... Oh, God, I can't even...
No, and
the thought
my
of
favorite
that.
For
oh,
you, my favorite for you would be, hi, I'm Sandra the sex nerd, and I do lots and lots of interviews. You really want me covering this tonight.
You just winked at me.
You really want me covering this tonight. And as long as you say it with a smile, for the most part, men are like, oh, I got a cute girl smiling at me. All right.
Well, what about women? I mean, is it just guys?
If you meet a woman like me who also loves women, no, I'd objectify the shit out of you. Be like, yeah, I do.
Oh, God. Such an interesting thing.
And I think women are the same. I think women think about men and women in the same way. I think that women are aggressive. Not all women, but I do think that there are women out there who are aggressive and who want to say, I would love to take you out on a date, but don't have the balls because they're too scared. Or, my favorite, they're too old-fashioned. They want the dude to do it because they don't want to be aggressive.
Mm-hmm.
It's 2014, ladies. Wake up.
Do you think that pretty and hot men get the same kind of...
I think it's somewhat worse for men, actually, because women of a certain age who are comfortable within themselves will go after a pretty man cougar style.
Speaking as one who has done it.
I have experienced older women being aggressive with me, and I am terrified because they're so fierce.
Well, they're fierce because at this point they don't give a shit. They've stopped caring. They've stopped caring if you're going to shy away from them. At this point, they're just interested in getting in your pants.
And I don't want to hurt their feelings. I don't want to hurt their feelings if I'm a no.
Well, just be really sweet about it. Be like, thank you very much. I really appreciate the offer. No, thank you. Sometimes it's hard. I've had to do the same thing. There have been several older women who I've not been attracted to and had to say the same thing. I'm very flattered. I'm very, very flattered. I'm not interested. I'm sorry.
Oh, your face. Oh, the sad face.
Because I make this horrible, like, wincing face. And, yeah, I pull my mouth to the side and I'm like, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry.
I feel...
Because they've done studies. You care about your looks as a woman until you reach your 30s or until you reach your 40s. Somewhere between your 40s and your 50s, you start to become more comfortable within yourself. So at that point, by the time you reach your 50s and 60s, because you no longer have to get a mate, go find a date, those sorts of things, you actually become comfortable with yourself. Mm-hmm. And at that point, you're like, well, I can either fuck my husband or I can go on Snapchat.
And the thing about aging, I love that you bring that up, is that I thought, and I had never put this into words, but I felt it deep in my core, that one of my only assets was that I could be a sex object.
Okay.
I mean, like, I knew that I was smart. Like, I knew, but, like, the fact that I can be of service sexually, like, that I knew was an important piece to my value.
Okay.
And it's neat that as aging happens, and I know that I am over the hill in terms of attractiveness. Like, it's downhill from here.
I don't think so.
Well, I mean, fitness, and there's a lot of self-care, and, like, I could probably, yeah, we can all take better care of ourselves for sure. But in terms of just that easy, youthful.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Where you wake up in the morning after eating 12 cheeseburgers and you're like, yeah, I'm still...
And you're still glowing.
Yep.
Right? Yeah. Yeah, no.
No, no. That doesn't, no. You're right, that doesn't happen after that.
But I guess it's an exciting thing to find that there's so much more worth as a person. Because I am extremely unattractive sometimes.
I think we all are.
Right. But yet people still peg you as like, oh, you are always attractive. You are that person who's
And that's what I'm hoping to dispel with this interview is more or less like, I have shitty days. I do. I have crappy days where I wake up in the morning and I've got a fever and I probably haven't showered in 2 days because I've been in bed sweating, trying to break my fucking fever. I do not smell good. I do not look good. It's bad. It's just bad. Okay. And I think at least as long as you can be comfortable within yourself, that shines through and that's what makes you sexy. At least for me. At this point in my life, right. I was on set recently with a very young, attractive, deliciously hot young model. And mm-hmm. I don't go for model men. I really mm-hmm. don't. I don't find them attractive because, dear God, they spend more time in the bathroom than I do. Mm-hmm. That's not fair to me. So I also don't date men. They're so pretty. It's like, I think I should put you in a glass case somewhere and just look at you.
Yeah, I tend to stare
at Ty Diggs. That man is fucking gorgeous. I would never sleep with him. Never in a million years.
Why not?
He's too pretty.
Too pretty.
Too fucking pretty.
It'd be distracting.
It would. I'd be worried I'd break him somehow. I get rough.
I haven't figured it out yet. I'm intimidated by pretty, like, hot and pretty men. But I don't know if it's like I feel like I'm not good enough where I could get them. Or if it's just like there's something where I don't see that as my... Like, I took a welding class last weekend. My teacher awesome. Was... redonkulously hot, like all the like just these muscles and then this like chiseled jaw and like great everything. There was just so much happening. I was like, how are you this attractive and teaching me welding right now? And then I was just like, okay, I'm gonna learn how to weld. And our assistant guy was like adorable and not like hot pretty, but just adorable. I'd be like, I would totally date that guy.
See?
And make out with that guy. And I would just want to look at that guy.
Yeah.
The other guy. What's that about?
I'm not sure. Because I've always been kind of leery. But recently I worked with a very young, very hot model. God, he was ridiculous. And he kind of looked like Fabio in the pictures. But he didn't look like that way in person. Because boy, I don't go for that guy either.
No.
Ugh. And I'll never...
Not to get Fabio negative. I just not my type.
Not my type either. Good God. That big man of a, like, that big slice of a beefcake, that to me is like a eugenics experiment gone wrong.
Okay.
It was odd for me that he was attracted to me, and he was attracted to me because I walked around naked. I was the only model. There were two of us on set, and I was the only one to walk around nude because at that point, one, I have to model naked. Two, if I wear anything, it's going to leave lines. And that's...
Oh, that's smart, of course.
And so I was just walking around topless in a pair of pants that don't leave lines. Mm-hmm. And at one point he was like, you are just so confident. I want to fuck the crap out of you. I'm like, oh, this is gnarly. I have to go call my husband.
I love it.
But yeah, it was an awesome experience, at least for me, because at that moment I had realized I was really confident and like, no, I'm going to fuck you. This is going to happen. Somehow this is going to happen.
Right on.
And it was also nice. He was also very shy. I go for shy guys. I really do. I love to exploit shy men. So if you're shy and you're in the corner, I'm going to find you. And you're going to do dirty things with me.
Well, that's just a terrible tease to end off with. Terrible tease. Where can people find you in the world?
You can find me on Tumblr, Twitter, Pinterest. There's another one.
Probably. Twitter, Facebook.
Oh yeah, but I don't interact with my Facebook because I hate Mark Zuckerberg.
Okay.
Okay, so Twitter, Facebook, and Tumblr, they're all Justine Jolie. Justine, Joli. You can find me at greenfairyedibles.com. That's my edible making. And then if you go to justinejolie.com, you'll find all of the dirty naked stuff I do.
I want to try your jerky.
Okay. I'll send you home with some. Oh, I have a spicy right now.
Oh, snap. I will totally.
I also have coconut oil for you too.
Oh my God. I love coconut oil.
Hash coconut oil.
Oh my God.
Do not put it in your vagina, please. Okay.
All right. I did think about that in my brain.
I've actually done tests. It doesn't work.
Okay. This is exciting. Hey, you guys, thanks for tuning in. We talked about beauty. I want to interview a sexy hot man at some point to talk about the male perspective mm-hmm. on this, the dude perspective, chiseled jaws, all that. It's fascinating. Anyway, Justine, thank you so much.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
And as we say on the show, go team fun.
Yeah, go team fun.
Oh, yeah.
Now leaving Nerdist.com.